All right, let's do this, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Let's Talk Local podcast. This is episode 579. I am your host, Chris Hollifield, and I want to give you a big warm welcome and thank you for coming back, for listening, for downloading, for streaming the podcast, and most of all, to everybody that has been sharing the podcast episodes with your family and friends. I cannot thank you enough for spreading the word, especially as, you know, we're going through this name change where, you know, this podcast was formerly I Am Salt Lake. Now it's Let's Talk Local. So, you know, we got to get the word out there and let people know about this awesome podcast, you guys. Hey, Zach Collier, he is on this episode of the podcast. He is the editor, the founder, the owner, the publisher. I mean, he does the Provo Music Magazine. This is a, in this episode, we get into depth on why he started the Provo Music Magazine. We talk about the Utah County music scene, which I've always been a fan of. I don't know. I mean, I've had musicians and bands on this podcast from Utah County. I have always been blown away by the talent of musicians in Utah County. So I was really excited to discover this Provo Music Magazine that Zach does. And so I was like, I got to bring him into the podcast studio and sit down and talk to him about this because, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I wish I would have known about this magazine prior. I'm just glad I got to find out about it now. I mean, so like I said, this is a cool conversation where we get to talk about the local music in Utah County. We talk about the bands that Zach has been in, tours he's been on. And most of all, I mean, I know there's a lot of listeners out there that are interested in starting bands. And so Zach gives some tips and tricks and all that to starting a band. But hey, before we get into that episode, though, I want to reach out to the listeners and let you guys know about my real estate team, the Red Sign team. We are doing awesome events all throughout the year. Like I know we have a big pumpkin patch event coming up where you can go get some free pumpkins. You know, take your kids, take your family, take your friends, and come and hang out at the pumpkin patch and, you know, ride the hay rides and all of that. You know, we got some stuff going on at Christmas and summer events and all that good stuff. And I think it'd be super cool to have you, the podcast listener, come out. We can do some meetups at these events and it'd be fun to meet you guys. So if you're interested in getting an invite to the next event, shoot me a DM, shoot me a text, shoot me an email. Let me know that you're interested. Just connect with me on Instagram. It's the Let's Talk Local on Instagram. You can shoot me a DM with your email address so I can get you invites to upcoming events because I'd love to see you there. I'd love to meet you. Most of all, I'd love to see you there. So anyway, hey, like I said, Zach Collier, he is on this episode of the podcast. Such a great guy. So great to meet him. So great to bring him into the podcast studio. Let's get into the conversation. Enjoy. Dude, the music scene in Utah County is incredible. I mean, I want to start the podcast out right there with there has been some incredible bands. Why do you think the music scene is as good as it is here in Utah County?
I have given this a lot of thought over the years, and I guess I'll respond with an anecdote, right? Like, freshman year, I'm at BYU. We're in the dorms, right? You know, the old Heritage Halls before they tore them down, right?
Yeah.
And anyway, this girl was like, so what do you like to do? And I was like, I love to play the piano. Okay. She's like, this is BYU. Everybody plays the piano. Right. And she wasn't wrong. Right. Like, I used to consider myself a good piano player and I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, unabashedly fine. But that's the thing is, I feel, and this is kind of the thing that I've appreciated about Utah County lately is there's kind of a split in, I like to call it like hot topic Mormons, right? Like, it's like edgy Mormons who are just like, it's more punk to stay. Right. More punk to be Mormon.
Yeah.
Sort of deal. Right. But they're also inclusive. So it's not, it used to have the whole Zuby stereotype. Right. And then still exists. Right. But, there's others who, you know, who just are unabashedly Mormon and then lean into it hard, but not in an obnoxious way. So an example of that is like, yeah, you know, I'm going to be a musician and we're going to get everybody together. And we know that everybody's kind of musical because everybody came up in primary, right? Like singing popcorn popping and, you know, taking lessons from Sister Jones, right? And knowing that there is some sort of musical background in the shared culture, they're really proud of how musical everybody is at their core. People love music. Even though, you know, Latter-day Saint music really gets pigeonholed as like, you know, bad EFY music or whatever, right? Or hymns. Those are your two options. It's not really an LDS music industry. Latter-day Saints at their core really love music in general, not just religious music. And so I think that's part of why Provo in particular has been kind of a hotbed of talent is you've got a bunch of people on their way to be an orthodontist, but they've got time to kill, you know, while they get their degree. And they've got an acoustic guitar in their room. And so they're out in the lawn writing some songs or staying up in the laundry room, you know, doing their laundry with their buddies. And then they start writing music and they're like, let's do a battle of the bands. Right. And see where this goes. And, so anyway, like I love that about Provo is there is a new band every day, right?
Yeah.
Constant talent. The biggest issue that we have though is a lack of infrastructure. So because of that, there's a 4-year lifespan, typically 4 to 6 year lifespan on a lot of these bands. And
because people come here like for school and then move away.
Yeah. And then they move away.
A new job or something.
Yeah. Or they give up on the dream because a lot of the major label presence in Salt Lake, you know, there's major labels in Utah, right? But they're not here to farm talent. They're here to push, right? And here to advertise. And that's not knocking that, you know, that's how it works, right? You've got to have your ad agencies and stuff. And it takes a lot to market music. But because of that, like we need people who love Utah to stick around and build out that infrastructure. And so that's, yeah, kind of why I've ended up in the spot that I'm in.
And you've been in Utah for what would you say, 2013?
Yeah, so I came here for school in 2010 and then, you know, left on a mission for 2 years and then got back in 2013, but I've been here ever since.
So that's like, 10 years?
Yeah,
man.
10 years.
So, I mean, you've seen change and you've seen growth. Well, let's jump. I want to get back into the music scene. I want to talk about your band that you're in and all of that, of course. But let's talk about, so we're talking about the music scene. You're talking about how incredible it is. And I mean, I even know that firsthand. I mean, there's some great bands down this way. I mean, I've even had on the podcast throughout the years. But Provo Music Magazine. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, it's basically an online website, right? Like, it's not print or do some print? You brought some actually with you, I think.
Yeah. I'll give you the last couple issues.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We print quarterly. So it's 120,000 a year. You know, we're hoping to get up monthly, you know, over time, but yeah, so we do that. And our whole goal is essentially to be the advertising agency that the musicians in the scene can't afford.
Yeah.
Right. And shouldn't have to. Right. And so we're the guys delivering these things door to door, just like newspapers are gone. So there's a hole there in attention, you know, and it's been really fun to see, like to be out delivering because we had to build the routes, right? So like I've walked a lot of Provo, just like mapping things out and where people will need to go, you know, to deliver and stuff like that. And one time, there were two girls coming up behind me to their apartment and I'd already dropped a magazine on their doorstep and they're like, oh, hate it when people leave flyers or whatever. This is no fun. Local music. Cool.
Right? Yeah.
And so they're like immediately disappointed that there's like junk on their doorstep. And the second that they see that it's local music immediately like night and day, like, oh, nice, you know, and they're happy. And so that's, there've been a couple instances like that where I've run into that and it immediately flips. And I'm like, that's good. Like, people know that there's a good scene here and they're happy when they learn more about it. The issue for the longest time has been that there hasn't really been a centralized source to find that.
Do you have actually a copy of one of the magazines here with you? So I can actually even have it in front of me here you're good.
So these are the last two issues here.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, tell me a little bit about, I mean, was this kind of your brainchild or who started Provo Music Magazine?
Yeah. So, it dates back to like 2016. So when I was finishing up school at BYU, my wife got really sick our first year of marriage, almost died, kind of a crazy story.
Oh, wow. She okay now?
Yeah, she's good. She got better. Right.
Okay. You know? Well, that's good.
Yeah. And it was just a really formative experience. But during that time, it was kind of a low point for me. My first college band broke up and then my wife got sick And then, you know, I'm not mad about it because I'm also friends with them, but the half of the old band started a punk band and they didn't need a keyboard player, right? So they're off touring.
But every punk band needs a keyboard player.
Accordion? Let's get in that, you know? organ? I got you. But no, so they're off touring and I'm just like not able to get out. You know, I'm like full-time caretaker and stuff like that. And so I was just really isolated. And I just wanted to listen to local music. I'd, you know, become friends with a lot of these bands and just didn't really know what they were up to. And the only way that I could do that was to watch everybody's social media like a hawk. And I was like, you know, it would be really great if like somebody was out there aggregating this and just like sharing the news so I didn't have to poke around. And then I was like, oh, nobody's doing what I'm doing. I'm weird. You know, like I'm a hermit who just is living the music scene vicariously through the internet. So I might as well do it. Right. And so I launched reachprovo.com in 2016 and or end of 2015 and then sold it at the end of 2016. To a studio here, some of my buddies, so that I could finish graduating. And then they moved away. They ran it for a couple of years. And anyway, and then they once they moved to LA and I think Arizona or New Mexico, they were just like, hey, do you want to take this back? And so we took it back, rebranded. And so it's more music centric. And so we've got archives dating back to like 2009. Because Reach Provo, I was writing for a couple other publications and they just went offline, you know? And I was like, do you still have like the archives? Can I take all the music content? And so we are the oldest archive of Provo music history in Utah County.
Dude, that is so rad. I mean, is this what you went to school for? Like journalism or anything like that?
You'd think my whole life, like when I was a kid, my dad used to read The Hobbit to me. And I was like, when I grow up, I'm going to be a writer.
Yeah. You loved reading. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I found out that, you know, writers don't make a lot of money.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And so then in high school, I started drawing and like doing like graphic design stuff. And I'm like, one day I'm going to work at Pixar. And then I found out that they all work seasonally on a contract basis and don't make a whole lot of consistent money. And I'm like, that's not stable. So I'm going to be a musician.
Which is, you know,
But so my whole life has been just like oscillating between like visual art and writing and then music, a love of music. And I'm still doing that. So my actual degree is I've got a bachelor's in commercial music. So it's music production, songwriting, sound recording. And then I had a lot of elective credits for business and advertising.
Well, what I hear is you just like to be creative.
Absolutely.
Like that, you know what I mean? When you talk about things being unstable or this, I mean, at the end of the day, you're making it work.
Yeah.
You're figuring it out. I mean, dude, what this Provo Music Mag, it's incredible. And I mean, I could tell that you love doing it. I could tell that you love, from somebody who, I mean, I've never, well, actually I take that back. I did a little family newsletter when I was a kid. I've always, it was in zines too, when I used to be vegan years ago.
Right.
And I did a vegan magazine, right? Sold it to other people that were vegan. And, dude, it's a lot of work. But I mean, I was just going to Kinko's and photocopying. Like my scenes, right? I mean, would you get these professionally done and everything?
Yeah.
I mean, is it like a local printer here?
Yeah. So they're up in Salt Lake. So my partner, Sandro Improta, he hooked us up with Hudson Printing and I may misspeak here, but I don't know which one it is, but I know that they handle the programs, the printing of the programs for one of the major theaters in Utah.
Okay.
I remember which it is. Sure, sure. They do really great work and we've loved working with them.
And how often do you put out one of these?
So we publish issues here where we print 30,000 every quarter.
Okay.
So we're about due for another issue and wrapping that up right now.
So it's okay. It's about every quarter. So, and can people, I mean, I would imagine, you probably couldn't find any of these in Salt Lake, right? Like
so far, no, there's one, a couple places across from, the Salt Palace from the convention center that, are carrying them just because I happen to be out there, but
yeah, probably sneak a few in, go into some coffee shops in downtown Salt Lake and just lace.
Got to drop them off at Kilby Court or something. But yeah, so far it's very like 30,000 is a lot when you are individually walking each one to a doorstep, right? Like you'd be amazed at how big the number 30,000 is.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, but like at scale, I mean, most magazines, you know, are printing in the millions. And so our goal is to eventually, you know, ramp this up, because the more you print, the more value you have to, you know, to major companies and stuff like that. If we want to work with Maverick or, you know, whatever, shout out to Maverick. You know, we,
how'd you know they're my sponsor, man? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I worked at Maverick for a summer one year, and it was the funnest job of my life. Riding the mop around all night was just drinking Red Bull and riding the mop. Was like, if I could make $1 million working at Maverick, sign me up.
Have you ever thought about, I mean, the Provo Music Magazine podcast or something like that?
Yeah.
You
know, so we actually, like, we've got a guy working on one. His name is Landon Alley. He's a producer and a mixing engineer up in Lehigh, and he's doing one called The Smartest Artist. And so, and it's, you know, powered by Provo Music Magazine. And so our whole thing is business tips,
okay,
and sound recording advice specifically for musicians. And then, from there, there's a bunch of, other podcasts that talk about it. There's like, You Guys Shred, you know, and, a couple others, Beehive Tune Wheel, that just interview artists and stuff like that. So
I got to check some of those out, man, especially since I'm down here in Utah County now. I want to check these out so I can get a little more involved in the local music scene.
Yeah.
It's incredible, man.
Yeah,
how many people are helping you with this project?
Yeah. So in terms of full-time crazies who are like investing the money, it's me and Sandro, right? You know, putting up a lot, but, we've got a lot of freelancers. So we were up to, I think, 35 writers and photographers and stuff like that. So, and they are all awesome. Our number one rule is that we don't do any free help, right? Like, we don't, if somebody's like, I want an intern or I want to, you know, whatever, we're like, no, but we can pay you. We don't pay a lot, but we pay something, right? And
why not offer to take an intern?
Yeah, I mean,
you get free work, right?
Yeah, you get free work, but that's the thing, is our Provo Music Magazine is very mission-based, and that mission is being able to actually build out an enclave of artists and writers and musicians that can make a living from their work. And so, even though there's lots of things in the pipeline and lots of things we want to do, like podcasts and, you know, video interviews and concerts and events, our number one, push is to solve the problem, the money problem that we have in the music scene. And that there's no shortage of money in Utah, right? A lot of that has gone to tech, which is great. You know, it's tech and, you know, in the business sector, and not a lot with art. And, you know, to the horn about, you know, Mormons coming up in music, right? And the double-edged sword of that is, one, everybody's trained, that's great, but two, music is a calling, right? Or like I'm the primary chorister in my congregation, right? So I donate 2 hours of my life every Sunday to teach children how to sing songs, right? And it's great and it's fulfilling. But there's a reason why there's not an LDS music industry, and it's because we don't pay for our music, right? It's a gift from God, and you share it, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you also get what you pay for, right? So a lot of musicians, myself included, you know, I've been touring and gigging for, you know, over 10 years now. You can run yourself ragged trying to make a living from a very unstable industry. And it's one where you've got to scale quick. And it's all about scale and the number of people that you can reach. But unfortunately with art, it's not like a chair, right? Like you and I are sitting on a chair. We judge it by how soft it is.
Yeah.
And if it does or does not break when we sit on it, right? And that's how you test the utilitarian value of a chair. And music is something that nobody needs. And we saw that in 2020, like you don't need it in the early days of a pandemic or a zombie apocalypse. You know, like you need a doctor, you know, you need somebody who can shoot guns at zombies, right? Somebody who can run fast and somebody who can farm, right? And that is the backbone of society. But it's not until like year two of the zombie apocalypse when you're like sitting around the campfire and somebody's like, you remember Elton John? Can you do Rocket Man? Who knows Rocket Man? It's stuck in my head. I need Rocket Man right now, you know? And then that's when music becomes important, is when you're psychologically or emotionally very low.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's one of those things, like you need music to thrive. You don't need music to be alive. Right. But it's very important for human beings in terms of forming societies and cultures and stuff. And, you know, so when you come to somebody who's already listening to, I don't know, Kelly Clarkson and Otis Redding and, you know, whatever, all these greats and the Beatles and, you know, or has their favorite, you know, favorite TikTok artist or whatever right now. And you're like, I'm also in a band. Right. And if they know you, right, they kind of have to hear it from the ether, right? Like, you know, a prophet hath no honor in his own country, right? Like if they hear about you through the grapevine, you're real. If it's just you being like, hey, listen to my mixtape, you know, and that's a lot of the stigma that I've had to fight is people are like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a musician. And they go, how long are you doing that for? Right. It's like,
wait, how long are you doing
yeah.
it?
Good, like, yeah, how long, when are you going to quit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, if somebody's like, you know, what do you do? I'm a dentist. How long are you doing that for? When are you going to stop putting your hands in people's mouth and get a real job? You know, like, yeah. You know, like you don't really get that kind of backlash from any other industry. If you're a dentist, it's like, cool. Thank you for solving problems with my health, like my oral health.
But I mean, there's a lot of musicians though that make good money. I mean, look at like, I mean, even if they're not in today's day and age with, I don't want to say easy, right? Because everything is work when you have to put yourself out there, but we have so many out. I mean, even TikTok that you mentioned, right? Like you can become, I hate to say the word famous, right? Like that sounds so cheesy.
But you can.
But you can put yourself out there. You can get in front of enough people that you could probably make a decent living with your music through something like TikTok.
Absolutely.
And to me, that is amazing. And it makes it even more of an amazing time to be alive.
Absolutely.
Because anything is possible.
Well, and a lot of people like knock streaming, you know, it's, you know, I hate to be like a whole Gen Z millennial type of guy complaining about the older generation. But the fact of the matter is, you know, a lot of people are like, oh man, you know, streaming doesn't pay anything. I wish I was just selling CDs or, you know, whatever, because you'd get $10, right? Whereas a stream is 0.003 cents, right? So like you've got to get streamed three times if you want to make a penny, right?
Sure.
But the good news is that like those are micro investments that never die. So like, I wouldn't consider myself even remotely famous, right? Like I've been an accomplished working musician that's made, you know, a decent amount of money to survive, right? You know, about a teacher's salary, right? but I have made things that will outlive me and outlive my children.
Like that's is awesome.
Yeah. And it's cool. And that's something, you know, unless technology wildly changes again, right? But I mean, we had, when Thomas Edison invented the wax cylinder, right? You know, the precursor to vinyl, that lasted over 100 years until the advent of the internet. So for probably the next century, you're going to have streaming in some form over the internet. And then that like per play compensation is going to factor in. So I project kind of a looming economic crisis among musicians once my generation starts to die, because then you're going to have an intellectual property crisis where it's like there's a bunch of independent musicians who have uploaded their music to user-generated content sites, and technically they own it, but they haven't set up estates to keep collecting the money. So where does that go? Right.
Man, so, you've thought this through.
Yeah.
You've really put a lot of, I wouldn't have thought of things from necessarily those angles.
Yeah. And that's, I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to divert money specifically into this scene, because it's not like we have a lack of talent, right? Like even just in the last years, everybody on the internet, you know, if you read the Deseret News, Salt Lake Tribune, they immediately name drop like Neon Trees and Imagine Dragons, right? They're like Neon Trees, Imagine Dragons.
Because those are the only two bands from Utah.
Yeah, the only ones, right? Yeah. But you know, you've got the Used from Orem.
You can't forget them.
You know? You can't forget them, you know? And you know, but even in the last couple of years, like the Moss are doing really well right now. The Backseat Lovers from Heber, right? You know, are doing really, really well. You've got the Aces, who are signed to Red Bull Records. They're doing great. The National Parks have been touring relentlessly
for
12 years. You know, like they're doing really well. And then like nobody, and this drives me insane because Utah has a weird love-hate relationship with hip hop music, right? Like love hip hop music, but won't make it or admit that they like it, you know? I'm a huge proponent of Mormon culture, but you know, we've got stuff to iron out as a people. Right. But Mason from MASN from, Eagle Mountain, he's just a bedroom like SoundCloud producer and rapper and blew up. And he's done collaborations with like Trippie Redd. Like he is the most successful indie artist, like indie rapper out of Utah ever. And he gets no press, right? Because there is no press that talks about it.
What about that? You know? What about James the Mormon or
yeah,
James?
Yeah, JDM.
What, isn't he from Utah County?
Yeah, so he's moved. I think he moved to New York.
Oh, but, did he?
But yeah, like, but Mason even eclipsed James the Mormon, you know? And not to discount what JTM did. I mean, he was collaborating with like Taylor Bennett. Like Taylor Bennett is also an established rapper out of Chicago. He's Chance the Rapper's little brother, you know? So there's been like high profile collaborations going on, you know, in Utah. Just needs to know that it exists, but there's no infrastructure. Like touring out of here is a nightmare, right? We are 8 hours from anywhere.
True,
like,
true.
You know, where the next big cities that you're going to play, like you're going to drive 12 hours to Denver, right? And there's nothing in between, right? Unless you want to stop, you know, at Grand Junction and play a bar. They've got some stuff there, you know, but then you can go to Boise, you can go to Rexburg, and you can go to Vegas, right?
Well, you got Salt Lake. I mean, even probably find something in St. George if you wanted to, right? Or Cedar City or something.
St. George, crazy thing about St. George. I was just down at Utah Tech, got to sit in with a meeting with their, I think, academic vice president. But he was talking about the issues that they're having down there with population increase. So they are the fastest growing county in Utah. And some projections say that by 2050, St. George will be the size of Chicago.
Wow.
And they've got one university. Chicago's got six. And so Utah Tech is opening up a bigger campus over, I can't remember, it's called like Desert Color or whatever. It's a big development down there. And so it's bigger than the current, the former Dixie campus. And they're expanding, you know. So we're about to have a massive population boom. People have been talking about Utah County, you know, growing by the millions by 2050. But Washington County is going to eclipse that.
And I think as much as... It's hard because as much as like that sounds painful, like, oh my gosh, you know, let's leave St. George the way it is. But like, I think we almost need another major city between here and like Vegas. You know what
absolutely.
I mean? Like I think it'd be good for the state.
Yeah.
But let's talk about your band that you're in, man.
Okay.
What's the name of the band? Just so people listening can check it out, man.
Yeah. So it's Michael Barrow and the Tourists.
Michael Barrow and the Tourists.
Yeah. So I am not Michael Barrow. I am one of the Tourists.
Who's Michael Barrow, though?
Michael Barrow is a rad human being. And more people need to know about him. He's very, anybody who meets him is like, what a great guy, like great human. And, but he's just not in your face. You know what I mean? But I am his biggest fan. I've been with him in a band for 7 years. And first time I heard him sing was at a songwriting class at BYU. And a funny thing about Michael is he and I had like three classes together and also worked at BYU TV across from each other. Like I could see him. There's like my monitor in front of me and then his monitor, you know, back to back with mine. Okay. And then him. But we were in completely different teams and departments, and he was working for BYU International, so he was just speaking Spanish all the time. So he was like right next to me for like about a year doing closed caption translations and stuff like that in Spanish, and so we never spoke. And then we had an advertising class together, and we were on opposite ends, and so we never spoke. So I just like saw him around, but I had no idea he was musical. And then we had a common friend and who hooked us up after the songwriting competition or songwriting class. He sang and he's incredible. His voice is, I don't know, say it sits somewhere in between like Michael Bublé, Adam Levine, and like Passenger.
Okay.
Like a little bit of Ed Sheeran, right? Like just kind of that like bright, pingy, soulful vocal. And it's really unique and just really, you know how I said I used to think that I was good at piano. Like I used to think I was good at singing. Like my voice for my major, or my instrument for my major at BYU was technically voice, right? And I've been in a band with Michael and I for 7 years, and I don't believe I can sing anymore. So because he's so good.
So do you ever do vocals, or you just do keyboard?
Yeah, I do keyboards. You know, help with arrangements and you know, and songwriting and stuff. And the band jokes that I play marketing. You know, that's my instrument. But yeah, so. But yeah, I sing in other projects and stuff. I've got a solo project and everything and do backup and stuff. But yeah, Michael's
Talk about your solo project.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been a tourist for a long time. So on Instagram and, you know, on Spotify, you can find me Zach is a tourist, right? Just
okay.
Mush it together because it's an Instagram handle. So, but yeah, I
And people can go there and listen to your solo stuff.
Yeah, it's done okay. I haven't played a gig on it. I played one gig one time in the middle of the pandemic because the band Cinders asked me to come open for them. And Cinders is awesome. You should listen to them. But I bombed. It was so bad. But luckily there were only like 18 people there because of distancing restrictions. So yeah. It was a quiet bomb. But yeah.
And you've got to tour and stuff with your bands.
Yeah,
and stuff that
so
you've done?
Michael Bear on the Tourist did an East Coast tour last summer. So was that
your first time doing an East Coast tour?
Yeah, first time out in the East Coast. So it was kind of wild. Like on the internet's a weird thing, man. Like,
amen to that.
Yeah. So like most of our fans are in Chicago.
Oh wow.
And we've never been to Chicago, so it was actually really cool. We had about 50 people there on Father's Day, so it was like Sunday. Father's Day in Chicago, and you know, played a bar, and a bunch
That's
of people
cool, man.
Showed up, and you know, so everywhere that we went, there were, you know, except for Philly, that was a good time, but we played the only thing that we could get in Philly. We're like, might as well play Philly because we're passing through, and we met some great bands there. But it was 2 p.m. matinee show at a bar on Sunday. Nobody comes to shows at 2 p.m. on a Sunday, you know, no matter where you are in the world.
Maybe in Philly, right? Those daytime drinkers, right? They're definitely not there for the music. They're just there for their booze.
There for the booze. You know, there were like five people at the bar, and then we played to the sound guy and the other bands, you know, who were cool enough to come on. And so it's a good memory. But everywhere else that we went, you know, we had at least 50 people there, and it was really cool. You know, we played New York City, went to Athens, Georgia, went to Nashville, and yeah, it was really, really good.
Any crazy or fun stories from that? Like, I guess besides the playing 2 p.m. at a bar, you know, funny, you know, I always hear like bands, like police pulling them over, like, or, you know, just stuff like that. I don't know if there's any funny stories.
Sandra's going to hate me for telling this story.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it now. Let's do it.
So my favorite memory, I was so mad at the time. Everybody was furious, right? Our band gets along really well, right? We've been together for a long time, lots of time. And anytime you got to cram somebody in a metal box for extended period of time, you got to work out your stuff. You're not going to survive, right? And so we, you know, we get along really well, but we took an RV out, right? So every night we would just stay in a Walmart parking lot or a Costco parking lot and...
So you took an RV on tour?
Yeah, on tour.
Okay, and that way you had a place to stay.
Yeah, we got a place to stay, and you didn't have to pay for hotels.
Sure,
and stuff
that's
like that.
Brilliant.
And so we took an RV and went out there, but after our first night, we had to rotate bunks based on how comfortable they were. Because one, everything folds out, right? There was enough space for all of us to sleep, but one of them is entirely made out of... Like the passenger chairs, like when it's in like driving mode, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right down to like the seatbelt buckles still being a part of the bed, right? So Sandro did not sleep like at all. And so his thought process was, he's like, well, might as well get on the road. It's 5 a.m. I'm not going back to sleep. I didn't sleep at all. So I'm just going to start driving, right? And I wake up, I get hit in the face with my contact solution bottle. And like my toothbrush, like stuff is like flying everywhere because he's driving and he didn't think like we had to secure amps. Like all of our stuff was in the cabin with us. We had to like bungee cord stuff.
And, yeah, yeah.
You know, and so everything is like falling everywhere, right? He's driving down the freeway like 80 miles an hour in an RV and it's rocking back and forth and all of us were sleeping and suddenly we're just getting hit by shoes and suitcases.
Yeah,
and
what a way
like
to
that.
Wake up, right?
And yeah, and everybody's like, oh, what's happening? You know, and he's like, oh, just thought I'd get on the road. And Michael's like, stop the car, stop the car. And anyway, yeah, we had to pull over and secure everything. He's like, I don't get why everybody's mad at me. I just trying to get, you know, get going and
just being proactive here, guys.
Yeah, it was really funny. So we had to tie everything down and then we hit the road. But he did save us like 2.5 hours of driving that day. We got there early and, you know, so kudos to him.
Dude, that is awesome.
No hard feelings.
But. What advice, like, let's say somebody's listening and they want to start a band or they want to join a band, right? Like they play the guitar, they play some keyboards, I don't know, whatever. I mean, what would you tell them? Like, to, I don't know, how do you even get in a band, man? Like,
That's a good question. It's going to take a lot of trial and error. A lot of people are like, I've got some songs and then they like, kind of ask some people to play and then it kind of falls apart and they quit first thing. Like if you're going to be a musician, get used to rejection, right? Like
from other members, from people, or yeah, just from, all the way around,
from everywhere, right? Okay. Like just get used to rejection, you know, and get used to a lot of disappointment, right? Like that sounds really negative, but like right down to things like, you know, when you first start, I was this way. When you first start writing songs, it's like, oh, Taylor broke up with me. I'm so sad. I'm going to write this song, right? And
those are the best songs.
Right, you know, and you're like, oh, I love this. I love this song. This is my journal. This is my passion. This is my life, right?
Yeah.
And then somebody's going to be like, dude, that sucks. You know, like that's ouch, my ears hurt, you know? Like you're going to write some clunkers. And some people think that you're just like born with it, right? Like, and some people are. Like I would put Michael Barrow in that category. Not that he hasn't written a bad song in his life, right? But like, you know, I've been in choirs my whole life. I've taken voice lessons, you know. Michael has never had a voice lesson and he'll just like play Zelda and then roll out of bed and drink a Diet Coke and then go sing like an angel. Like he's infuriatingly good, right? So there are certain cases where people are really good. But even with Michael, like Michael has had, there's a difference between raw talent and then like honing your craft, like becoming a good craftsman.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just have to write a lot of songs. I've taught a lot of songwriting lessons. And my first thing is like, write 100 songs as fast as you can, right? Get it out. They will be terrible. And keep them in your drafts. Don't publish them anywhere. Don't lead with that. You know, my first song was the hammock song. And it was, you know, my
just
wife.
Just about hanging out in a hammock.
Sometimes my wife really wants to get under my skin and tease me, you know, we'll be doing the dishes or whatever. And suddenly she'll be like, me in a hammock, the stars and the planets. And she'll start singing my hammock song and I die inside. And she'll just elbow me and laugh at me, you know, because she's one of the few who have heard the hammock song. And it's so bad, right? But that was like song number one for me. And I've written 100 since then. And now it's gotten to the point where it feels like a puzzle or feels like an exercise that you've done before. And you're like, I know how things fit. You know, I can do this. You know, it's gotten to the point, I mean, they say that like you become proficient in a language once you start dreaming in that language, right? And anybody who plays video games knows that you've been playing Fortnite or Super Smash Brothers.
When you start dreaming
about tactics, like what am I going to do, right? You have a dream about Fortnite or whatever, you know, or Minecraft and, you know, a new build or something. You know, but it's the same way with music. There have been times where I have dreamt a song and I've woken up and been like, oh yeah, that's cool. You know, because my brain is just doing it automatically now, you know?
Yeah.
And some of them slap. They're really good. You know, some of the best songs that I've ever made on my last solo EP, like half of them I dreamt, you know? Not to say that they're amazing and I'm a great songwriter. I'm unabashedly fine. Listen to me if you want, but, but yeah, like I am, my strength is arranging and songwriting, not necessarily in the performance section, but, the performance sector, but that's the part that requires the most work and the most attention. So, going back to your original question, how do you get in a band, right?
Yeah, like, just tips. I mean, suggestions, how to start, join, whatever, right?
So it's important.
A lot of people don't know where to start.
You
know?
Yeah, it's important that you just go to where people are.
So right? Like venues, other musicians,
places, and then just start asking around, you know, like things happen when things happen, right? In this day and age, I'm about to get really deep here. I'm sorry. I don't know if you've looked into transhumanism, the science of transhumanism.
No, tell me.
Philosophical branch. It's really out there, kind of sci-fi, but it's this discourse around like at what point are humans no longer human, right? At what point have we evolved past where we were 600 years ago? One topic up for debate right now is, are humans today the same as humans in the 1800s now that we can communicate with each other instantaneously at any given moment? Right. When you can just text somebody, like I'm running into that. I've got a 6-year-old. I've got 3 kids, but my 6-year-old was like, how do you know what mom is thinking right now? She like asked me, she's like, what do you mean? Mom told you that she's upstairs. And I'm like, oh, I've not told you how text messages work. Mom can write me a note. She's like, oh, so she writes you a letter and it teleports to your pocket. And then you read the letter and that's how you know what mom's talking about. And I'm like, yeah, so mom's not speaking in my head, but she's sending me little notes. And she's like, oh, man, I thought you were magic, you know? So she was like very confused. And so, you know, are we the same society now that we have that ability to like communicate with somebody that we've never met in Asia instantaneously or over FaceTime, right? Like that's surreal, you know, the stuff of imagination. And so the double-edged sword, you know, like that's a huge blessing. We're seeing the effects of social media now that it's in society, but is this concept of bodily abstraction, right? The concept of you essentially projecting your consciousness into these social venues or these social spaces, right? Like projecting yourself into Twitter, right? Or into Facebook. And when somebody, you know, your uncle Ryan or something, like, I don't know, drop some political propaganda in response to some innocuous tweet that you had, right? And it feels like a personal attack, right?
Yeah.
Even though he is in Michigan or, you know, wherever. I don't have an Uncle Ryan in Michigan or Uncle Ryan, period. But, you know, we've all got that uncle or that aunt that, you know, like flies off the handle about stuff and it feels like a personal attack, even though the distance is so great, right? And it's because you've lost contact with your body. And so you're no longer present. And that's why there's been a huge push for meditation and, you know, taking time off to detox from social media and to come back to like what is present and what is real and really happening around you so that you don't feel attacked on the all the time or on edge or just being bombarded with information. And so anyway, the reason why I bring that up is there is a tendency now, especially among the rising generation, to just spend all their time writing songs in their bedroom. And then you played it a camera and then TikTok throws it to a trillion people. And then your brain can't compute how many people that is.
Yeah.
You know, like Olivia Rodrigo wrote her record during the pandemic and then it blew up. I mean, she is the youngest person and the only person to ever chart and have all 10 spots in the Billboard Hot 100, just off a debut record. Like that's wild. That's how popular she got during the pandemic. But her first show was like in, I could be wrong, but it was in like Europe or whatever for like a Variety magazine thing. Anyway, but she showed up and there were like 20,000 people singing along and she'd never played a show before. Right. And so, I would encourage people to get out in the real world as much as possible. This isn't saying like, social media is bad. Like, no, of course, like that's amazing that Olivia Rodrigo could do that, right? That is, like you said, it's what a time to be alive. Like you could go viral and like Jake, you know, on TikTok just played, you know, The Rock on New Year's Eve this last, last December, right? And he was doing stuff in his bedroom, you know, and now he's one of the biggest stars today, right? Because of TikTok. That's awesome. But a lot of people are grossly unprepared for the real world because they spent so much time in their bedroom and not interacting with people and they don't understand the scale, right? So things happen when you do things, right? If you go out and just attend a show and then just ask a question.
Yeah.
You know, you can be like, hey, how long have you been playing? You know, like how can I do this? Do you know anybody who's looking for a songwriter? Do you have a songwriting group? Can I shadow you? Right? Like, can I sit in on a session and see how this works? You know, can I show you some of my stuff? Like, don't be afraid to ask. And when you do that, you'd be surprised. I've got one friend, his name is Joe Taylor Hawkins. He's also a great musician, but I met him after a concert and he came up to me and he was like, hey, I loved your set. I came here to watch another band, but like you guys, like that's like my sound. That's like what I want to do. Would you be down to like, could I like buy you a Little Caesar's pizza or something? And could I just like play some of my songs for you? He later told me that I was probably the most approachable member of the band because I was the keyboard player sitting in the corner. You know, I'm not very public in Michael Baron the Tourist, but anyway, and he and I got together every week for like a year. Just he'd buy me a pizza, and it was mutually beneficial because he was a young kid starting out, and he got to go through those bad songs really fast. You know, they're like 7 minutes long, and now he can write a pop song like really quickly. And for me, that's how I started teaching lessons. He was like my first student, you know, and that's how I fell in love with that. And anyway, he ended up going to school for music over in the UK, and he's an incredible producer. He's really, really good, probably one of the most underrated people in the scene right now. But he has eclipsed me in terms of like production ability just by going to a show and asking a question, you know. So
how can listeners get a hold of you? How can, like, your website, your address, I know you mentioned your Instagram and stuff like that, as we kind of wind this episode up a little bit. It's been great chatting, getting to know, you know, about your, you know, your music and, and no, it didn't get weird at all, man. We talked music, we talked, you know, about your band and all that, but the magazine, your band, you in general, how can people connect?
Yeah. So if you have any inquiries about like local music or, you know, if you have press, it's just provomusicmagazine@gmail.com or you can, message us on Instagram. And then, Zach is a tourist is my Instagram. I like message me anytime.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you. And then, we're just at Michael Barrow and the Tourists. I would, of all the things that I talked about today, Provo Music Magazine and Michael Barrow are like, things to do.
Now, how can people, can people get involved with the magazine at all? Like if they want to write, but I guess you don't do interns or something like that.
Right. Yeah. But we're looking for freelancers all the time. Yeah, so like if you want to help, like, you know, we'll do a brief job interview and sure. see if your style's a good fit. So if you're a photographer and you want to shoot some concerts, you know, reach out to us with some samples of your work. And if you're a writer, send some work samples and then we'll see which projects would be a good fit. Everything's opt-in. So we've just got a database of like a catalog of local albums that need to be reviewed. And you can work as much or as little as you want. You just go on the Google Doc and claim it. And then if you want to get paid, turn it in, you know, and then we'll pay you. And you can work as much or as little as you want.
So. And I would imagine if you're a local business too, and you can carry the magazine in your store, I mean, reach out to you as well.
Yeah. And if you're looking to advertise, I mean, we reach minimum 120,000 people a year. You know, typical research and our research shows that about 3 people see each issue. So you could reach, you know, nearly 500,000 people if you advertise with us. So.
Anything else you want to add before we wrap this up? I mean, why the record button's still going here, man? I mean, it's been great getting to know you and talking, you know, Utah County music a little bit more. But anything else you want to chat about or that you were hoping we would chat about even?
I just want to say thank you. In case you don't know or couldn't tell, I have ADD. So,
No, man, you were perfect. You were perfect. Like,
let me talk to you about sci-fi dystopian human evolution. You know, but
it's my favorite thing about podcasts, man, is the directions they go.
But yeah, to anybody who's listening, thank you for putting up with me and for supporting local music. If you want to get involved, I want to connect you with the people that can help you. Even if you want to start a band, like I can get you where you need to go. So don't be afraid to ask questions. Questions aren't bad.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Zach. All right. Many thanks again to Zach Collier for joining me on this episode of the podcast. What a great guy. What a great resource that he's doing for the Utah County music scene. I mean, really incredible. If you can get your hands on a copy of the Provo Music Magazine, please do. And most of all, please reach out to Zach and let him know you heard him on the Let's Talk Local podcast. Hey, but like I said at the beginning, I need you guys to spread the word of this podcast. I need you guys to share it on social media, on the Instagrams, the Facebooks, to LinkedIn, if you're on LinkedIn. But share it with your family and friends, especially as we go through this name change from I Am Salt Lake to Let's Talk Local. I want to make sure everybody knows that we are still out there, that I'm still out there with this podcast, producing awesome content and all that good stuff. But also, don't forget to send your email address in if you are interested in getting some invites to some upcoming events that my real estate team, the Red Sign team, is throwing. Like, I know we have a big pumpkin patch event coming up in October that I'd love to invite you out to. I'd love to do a big Let's Talk Local meetup at it. I think that'd be a lot of fun. So anyway, reach out to me. I'm here every week with a brand new episode of Let's Talk Local podcast. So make sure to subscribe in whatever app you are listening to podcasts in. And other than that, you guys be good to each other. Give each other hugs. Love each other. And we'll see you on the next episode. Bye now.